Good morning. It's good to see everyone. How'd last week go? Hopefully good. Hopefully your faith is strong. Our purpose is to live and to glorify God in what we do. A lot of times what will happen is we get mixed up or we get focused on the things of this world, and it detracts us from what we're supposed to do. And so our hope, our prayer is that we, day by day, we move on to maturity. We mature. We become, as we studied last week, perfected. Realizing that it's God who does it. Without that, there's no hope. And so God sent His Son so that we could have the opportunity to be His children, to be able to come to Him and be holy and blameless beyond reproach. And so we think about what it will be like to be in eternity, to be with God. And so all of our lessons are gearing towards that end, helping us to prepare. Because our life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a who could get there the quickest. It's long. And it's full of trials. It's full of discouragements. It's full of afflictions. And so we need to have that focus impressed in our minds. So today I want us to begin by reading a passage in Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles handy, let's be turning there. Psalm 139. In this psalm, David explains in detail how well God knew him. And the truth is, God knows what's in our hearts. God knows us, as it was said earlier, better than we know ourselves. And so it's very important for us to realize this and to see that fact that He knows what's in our heart. But I want us to read just a couple verses in Psalm 139. My encouragement would be for you to read the whole chapter. But we're just going to read a couple verses. Look at verse 23. David writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." So we see a lot of aspirations here. The fact that David wants God to look inside, to find his shortcomings, to find where he's falling short, to find where he's failing, so that he could be corrected. In our lesson this morning, we're going to concentrate on that last part of this verse where God says, or where David says, "Lead me. I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. Take me the way that I need to go." And so that's what we're going to start. We're going to start by looking at Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to see Solomon talking about direction. And so we have to look to God. If we're going to go to God and we're going to approach Him, just like David requested, "Lead me, God, to the way everlasting. Take me to the direction that I need to go." We need to look to God for that direction. We need to be open for that. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, we're assured that God will in fact provide direction for those who follow instructions. We struggle with that sometimes, following instructions. Look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So, how do we get direction from God? Solomon says, we can't lean on our understanding. We can't. Solomon, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, says, there is a way that seems right to man, and the end is death. The end of that way is death. So man, there's a direction. We have a direction. If you look at the world, you see the direction that's in man when we rely upon ourselves. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's not in man. Why? Because our understanding is not the way that God wants it. Our understanding takes us down a different path. Solomon also said back in Proverbs chapter 3 that we must trust in the Lord with part of our heart, all of our heart, and acknowledge him in all of our ways. That's important. What's that say? We have to seek counsel from God when we make our plans, when we make our decisions, when we endeavor to do anything. We got to go to God. We got to ask him. We've got to seek counsel. In Psalm chapter 119, big psalm, verses 105, David says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word helps us. When we go to God for counsel, when we want to know the direction, we find the direction through his word. We find the direction by looking into his word. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You can see, you know, you're not going to step on anything that's going to hurt you. You're going to be clearly walking in a brightly lit path. We know. In James chapter 1, I think we mentioned this passage last week, talking about prayer. When we're going through life, we're going to have trials. We're going to have afflictions. We're going to have things that happen to us. And it's going to seem like it's just taking us on and coming all around us. You ever been there? Yeah. One thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong. And we're just surrounded by all these things, screaming. James tells us in James chapter 1 what we need to do when we don't know what to do. We need to go to God. We need to pray to God. We need to ask him for the wisdom to deal with the trials. Now, God will never promise, hey, I'll just take all that away. See, no. Because through those trials, the process is that we become stronger. We grow. I know sometimes you might say, I've had enough. I don't need. But we're supposed to grow in our faith. That's what God wants, us moving on to perfection. We move on to perfection by growing in our faith. We stop growing in our faith. We stop moving in the direction God wants. So God will direct the paths of those who follow those instructions. Now we also need to look to God for leadership. David mentioned there, and back in Psalm 139, Solomon mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, that in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So if we look at what leadership is, leadership was important to God. It was important to David in Psalm 139, verse 24. That's the passage I was thinking about. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Look inside and take me in the direction I must go. Lead me to the place you want me to be. sounds pretty similar to what David says in Psalm 23. Looking at Psalm 23 with me, notice what David writes. This is a very short psalm. We read just the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it continues talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, I look at the world and what do I see? Death. And yet, I don't fear anything because you're with me. God goes with us. He leads us. Just like that shepherd. The shepherd leads his sheep into safety. And so he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures are good for food. He takes me beside the still waters. It's calm. It's peaceful. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness. We are assured that God will provide leadership for those who follow the instructions given in Matthew chapter 7. Let's look over at Matthew 7. This is the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, just two verses from Matthew chapter 7. Very important verses, I might add. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So what's he saying? What's Jesus saying? We have to avoid the wide gate. We have to avoid the broad way. Notice he said that many will go in. Many. There's a contrast between the many and the few here in these two verses. But there's also a contrast between the gate and the path or the way. The way is important here. The gate is also important because there's a way that leads to that gate or that gate, and then there's a way that leads to the other gate. The one gate has a way that is super easy. It's laid back. It's, you know, it doesn't take any effort. You just follow the crowd and you get there. But the end of that, Jesus says, is what? Destruction. It's utter destruction. But notice, he says, enter. That word enter, you know, it doesn't sound like, you know, it's a big deal. But the push behind that word in the original language means to strive. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some commitment on our part. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, that word strive is pulled out of that same context. But the narrow gate that Jesus is referring to is fixed. It's secure. It indicates two things. Number one, there are restrictions. Look over at Matthew chapter 5. You know, people always say, you know, that following some of the commands and some of the things that God requires is a law. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives a couple figures of speeches, but he's trying to prove a point. Look at verse 29. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. There needs to be a disclaimer here, and Jesus should have said that. But the point, the disclaimer is, don't actually go pluck your eye out or cut your arm off. I have an article of where someone actually did that in Denver. But the idea is, it's so important. Sin is so devastating that you need to get it out of your life. Or at least work towards that direction. Because we know that as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have forgiveness from our sins. That's 1 John chapter 1. We have that forgiveness as we continue to walk and live as Christians. But it's not saying that we'll be perfect. It's not saying that we'll be sinless. Because as we're working, as we're walking, as we're maturing, we're going to make mistakes. And it's because that we have that blood of Jesus cleansing us continually as we walk in the light that gets us there. Because it's Him. It's not us. It's that forgiveness we get. But there are restrictions, and you see those restrictions. You see the severity that is caused by sin. You know, Isaiah chapter 59 says sin separates us from God so that He doesn't hear, so that He can't reach to aid. It's not that God is limited. It's not that He doesn't want to. The fact is He cannot because of the unholiness of sin. God is holy. Man is not. And so we needed someone to bridge the gap. And that someone is Jesus. There's also some requirements. Look over at Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, just one verse. But it is a big verse. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Jesus has requirements. God has specific requirements that He wants for someone to be a follower. Now look here, there's a few words I want us to kind of pick out, pull out. And I know I've been through this passage before in other lessons, so you might have markings. But the very first word is the word desires. You have to want it. You have to want to be a follower. You can't make someone believe. You can't make someone become committed or dedicated. All we can do is encourage and pray and let God take it. When we're reaching out to people. But when we're speaking of ourselves, you have to want to. Notice also He says, and let him deny himself. What's Jesus talking about? What does He mean, deny himself? Well, there are things in this life that we want, that we desire. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a bigger house. Maybe it's extra vacation time so you can go travel the world. Who doesn't want that, right? Jesus is saying that the desires and the pleasures that keep us from Him, we have to prioritize our life. We have to put Him number one. And again, if we're praying to God for His direction in our life, and leading us in our life, He's going to show us what we need to do. And so that keeps us going down the path. Then He says, take up His cross. We have to count the cost. What's it going to take to be a follower of Jesus? You know, Jesus points out the literal thing of taking up His cross. What was Jesus' cross? It was sacrifice. It ended in death. It's an emblem of torture. It's an emblem of suffering and shame. That's what the song says. And so when we take up the cross, we're looking at our life. In Luke, by the way, in chapter 9, verse 23 it is, says daily. Take up his cross daily. So it's not just a one-time thing. When I become a Christian, when I became a Christian, when I was immersed, when I was baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, I took up the cross. That's not what he's talking about. Every day we arise, we have to have the mindset of taking up the cross again and again and again. Why do we do this? To remember he took up the cross. To remember the price that was paid. And so this is just that simple once a week memory, but we do this every day. We have to remind ourselves every day. There are requirements. There are things that I must do. And then lastly, in verse 24, he says, follow me. This could be the hardest thing because people are willing to do steps 1, 2, and 3. But to follow where Jesus goes, that's even harder. Because sometimes following Jesus means being persecuted, doesn't it? Sometimes following Jesus means going to a place that we don't know what's going to happen. Or maybe even being separated from loved ones. There again, going back to the prioritizing. Jesus is willing to put us first. Are we willing to put him first? So the narrow way is restricted. The narrow way has some requirements, but it also implies limitations. Because in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Does he stop there? No one goes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way. And the world, if you look at the world, there are many ways. How many religious bodies are there out there in the world? Thousands. That's why that the door knocker that we're going to be hanging out, and the little cards that we have that say the church of your choice, that has been preached for years by denominations. You can go wherever you want. Find the church that suits you. It teaches what you want to hear. But that's not the church of the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so that's why we want to put that out there so people can get a clear understanding of what the church of the Bible is. It's not an indoctrination into a certain denomination. It's what the Bible says. And that's what we want people to see. But there is not many ways. There's only one way. And it's narrow. We must enter in the narrow gate and travel the narrow way because where does it go? Life. And so just because we obeyed the gospel, just because we put on Christ in baptism and we had our sins forgiven, we still have to continue down the right path. We still have to keep pressing forward. We still have to keep maturing in our faith. That's where coming to God for direction and leadership is very important. Because we need him in those times where it's like, I don't want to do. How in the world do I deal with this problem? Or God, you know, I really want to go here, but, you know, I'm going to have to miss worship. What do I do? What do you think God would say? Go to worship and then go there. This is what's important to God. So we have to adopt David's request for God to look inside, to know us, to lead us in paths, but lead us in the path that leads specifically to eternity. That's where God wants to take us. It's man in our own minds who wants to go down a different path. And so we have to continually push forward and allow God to do that. So that's the lesson this morning. If you are here and you have a need, maybe you're going through a struggle in your life or sin or just affliction. You're going through something that you need prayers for. We want to help. The more prayers, the better. Maybe you're here and you would like to learn more about how to be pleasing to God, or you're ready to put him on in baptism. Whatever the need is, we want to make sure you know that we're open to help in whatever need it is. So now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.